In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I want to remind you about voting on the 6th of November. I want to remind you that this election is very, very important. Probably the most important election that I've ever experienced. We need to vote pro-life. We need to vote pro-life. I also want to remind you of question number two, which is physician-assisted suicide. And I want to say this, physician-assisted suicide is suicide. And this is so appalling. But you know what? We started off with birth control, then we began abortion, and now we're going to kill them at the other end. Physician-assisted suicide. It will start that way, but I tell you, because evil has no conscience, that it will end up that people will not want to die, but they will be made to die. Now, that's not now. Now it's physician-assisted, but you know what? It'll be like the killing the child at the last minute. You know what they call it? What do they call it? Whatever, you know what I'm talking about. This is evil. This is evil. Physician-assisted suicide. Vote no on question two. You've got to do that. And you've got to get your friends to go vote no on question two. Okay. I also want to remind people who are hungry for the glory of the Lord and who want to go deeper into the presence of God that the Days of Glory will begin on November 8th to the 11th. That is the 8th to the 11th, Days of Glory. And it will be at the Crown Plaza Holiday Inn. I will be there, and Maria Vadia will be there, and many other people will be there. Beautiful music to worship the Lord by. So that's between the 8th and 11th of November at the Crown Plaza Holiday Inn. We ask that you call for rooms at 781-935-8760, 781-935-8760. 781-935-8760. Call for rooms and ask for the special rate, because they're going to give us a special rate at least until the 15th of October. And then if you'd like to look on the website, it's daysofglory.org, daysofglory, all one word, .org. For those that are hungry for the glory of God, those who want to go deeper into His presence, those who want to experience the power of the Holy Spirit in a new way, between the 8th of November and the 11th of November at the Crown Plaza Holiday Inn in Woburn, Massachusetts. And the telephone number is 781-935-8760, 781-935-8760. Today I have prepared part of Mark 5, verse 21. Mark 5, verse 21. And when Jesus passed over again on the boat to the other side, many people gathered to him, and he was near the sea. Wherever Jesus goes, there's going to be people that are going to be following him. They see the boat going one way, they go to where Jesus is. They see the boat going another way, they go where Jesus is. Because I'm telling you, they knew that this was the one that was the healer, that was the doctor, that was the one that could do miracles. And so his miracle-working power caused many, many, many people to follow him wherever he went. Wherever he went, the people would always greet him when he got off the boat because they were desperate. My question to you and to me, are you desperate for the Lord? I am desperate for the Lord. I don't know about you, but I am desperate for Jesus. Even though I'm a priest, I am desperate for Jesus. I am a Christian, I am a Catholic, but I am desperate for his touch, desperate for his glory, desperate for his presence. All desperate. Only the desperate reach out to Jesus. So the people followed Jesus. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw Jesus, he fell down at his feet. He fell down at his feet and besought Jesus, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. My little girl, the one I love, is almost dead. I pray that you would come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed and she may live." Oh, how many people have I been with when their little daughter or their little son was at the point of death? How many people have I prayed with that God would raise these children up? And I have seen many children raised up. How many mothers have come to me with their children that are older, and we have prayed with them? I'm going to tell you, this is something that is just very natural. This morning, as I was walking down the stairs, there were two people ready to meet me, and one had cancer of the brain, and he asked if I would pray with him. You know, I hadn't even had my coffee, and so I went into the chapel, and I just started praying with him, and he just went out in the Spirit. He didn't know what it meant to go out in the Spirit, but he went out in the Spirit, and he was there as I was praying with him. And after I finished praying with him, he was there longer, for about 15 minutes in all. He said, "I've never experienced such peace. What peace I've experienced." He says, "Do I come back again?" I said, "Oh, yeah, I'll come back again when you want." He says, "What about next week?" "Okay, come back next week." These people from Winthrop, my Lord, I wish the Lord would touch me the way he touched that man. I wish the Lord would touch me, not because I'm sick with cancer. Thank God I don't have cancer. But that man was so filled with God today that I can't even tell you how much of God he received. I know God is not quantitative. I know that. But he received an anointing that only God can do. And that happened on Saturday night to a woman who had a return of cancer of the breast. And she just went out in the Spirit, and the Lord just was loving her and loving her and loving her. And I just stayed with her. I said, "Don't get up. Just let the Lord do what he needs to do. We're believing for healing. Let God do what he needs to do." You see, they followed Jesus because there was healing and deliverance that flowed from the hands of the Lord. And I tell you, that should be what's happening in the church. My little daughter is at the point of death. You know, unfortunately, they don't call the priest when the little daughter is at the point of death. They go to the best doctors, which is run. That's wonderful. I think they should do that. But they don't call the priest. They don't call the minister. Come and pray, because we need help. We need help from above. We need God. And Jesus went with the man whose daughter was dying, and many people followed him. Many people followed him and thronged around him. Again, poor Jesus can't even walk through the crowds because they're all following him. Wherever he goes, the crowds are there. Everybody needs a touch from Jesus. There was a certain woman who had an issue of blood. She had woman trouble, and it had been for 12 years. Let me tell you about woman trouble. Any woman that had woman trouble could not be part of the community. They had to be apart from the community because they were bleeding. And so she suffered for 10 years, not only with the issue of blood, with the woman trouble, but she was not part of the community. She was all alone, like a dog, as they say in Italian, come una cane, just like a dog. And she had suffered many things from many doctors, and she had spent all that she had, and nothing made her better. Rather, she grew worse. My Lord, she must be discouraged. She had gone to all the doctors that she knew, all the specialists, all the people who said, I can help you. You know, how many people have said that to me? I can help you. Yep. And there's no help found. Only God can help at a certain point. Only Jesus can do the help. And when she had heard of Jesus, someone told her that Jesus was coming. Someone told her that Jesus was in the midst. Someone told her that Jesus was with this crowd. She came in and pressed behind him and touched his garment. And she said, if I only touch part of his clothes, I shall be healed. And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. Immediately she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, knowing in himself that virtue, healing virtue, had gone out of him, turned and said, who touched my clothes? I tell you, honey, they were all touching Jesus, but this woman touched him with life-giving faith. This woman came desperate, touching Jesus with life-giving faith. I'm telling you, we go to the Eucharist, we receive the body of Christ, and how many of us receive it believing that this is not only Jesus, but life-giving faith, that I'm going to get better because I'm going to be receiving Jesus Christ, the Son of God, at the Eucharist. I'm going to receive Jesus Christ, the healer. I'm going to receive Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross, the one who was buried, the one who shed his blood for me, the one who rose from the dead. I'm going to receive Jesus Christ, and I expect to be healed. I expect that God will do something for me. I tell you, this woman had expectant faith. Everybody was touching Jesus, but this woman drew power from Jesus. She drew power. She was desperate. She said, if I only could touch just his clothes. I don't need to touch him. I just need to touch his clothes and I'll be fine. I'll be healed. And she pressed in until she touched the clothes, and immediately the flow of blood ceased flowing. This is a woman that we need to see, that we need to emulate her. We need to emulate. Who touched my clothes? Jesus said. And his disciples said unto him, why do you ask this question? There's such a multitude around you. And you say, who touched me? And he looked around, but he saw that this thing was done. But a woman, being afraid and trembling, knowing that was done in her, came and fell down before Jesus and told him all the truth. I touched you. I touched you. I had heard you were coming, and I was so desperate. I was so desperate. I heard you were coming, and I only knew that if I just touched your clothes, I'd be healed. I touched you. I'm sorry if I did anything wrong. And he said unto her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole from this disease. And while he yet spoke, there came the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain people, and said to him, your daughter is dead. Why do you trouble the master any further? In other words, a little girl, of Jairus' daughter, had just died. Leave the teacher alone. It's too late. It's too late. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Another translation says, Jesus disregarded that message. You know, when the doctor says you only have 2 months, disregard it. Seek the Lord. The doctor's not God. Yes, you have the chemo, you have whatever you need to have, but disregard the word, because God is more powerful than the doctor. The doctor, how many people have I prayed with that had 3 months to live that are living 5, 6, 7 years afterwards? How many people have I prayed with? Just a couple of weeks ago, I told you that I prayed with this man, and he had cancer and had 3 months to live. And the doctor said, 3 months to live. You know, with assisted physician suicide, he could have himself killed. If when the doctor says 3 months to live, or the doctor says 6 months to live, you can have yourself killed. This man came and sought Jesus Christ, and we prayed for him. And he came back and said, last November I came to you, and I was healed. I was healed. I was supposed to die in 3 months, and now I'm bringing a man who has cancer. I want him to be healed. I want Jesus to heal him. I'm telling you, my friends, people that are desperate for Jesus know where to go. I'm telling you that people that are desperate for Jesus know where to go. I wish that I could be four people at one time praying for the sick, because there's always someone to be prayed for, always a story that people have. Jesus disregarded the message, and he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and he saw the tumult, and they were weeping, and they were wailing. And when he went in, he said unto them, why do you make such a noise? Why do you weep? The young girl is not dead. She's only sleeping. Now they go from wailing to, and they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them out, he threw them all out. They had no faith. He took the father and the mother and the little girl with them. He entered where the little girl was lying, and he took the little girl by the hand and said, Talitha kumi, which is interpreted, little girl, I say to you, arise. She's only sleeping. That meant death. But I tell you, Jesus has power over death. Jesus has power over death. It's as simple as that. If you haven't read the little book, Heaven is for Real, you need to read it. You need to read it. It's been on the bestseller list for years. Heaven is for Real. It's all about a little boy that went to heaven and met Jesus. Heaven is for Real. I'm telling you, this little girl had departed, but Jesus only had to take her by the hand and say, Talitha kum, little girl, get up. And she got up, and it says, and straightway the little girl arose and walked, and she was at the age of 12. She was 12 years old, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it. Don't tell anyone. And he commanded that something should be given to her to eat. Isn't that wonderful? Not only does he heal the person, but he knows that now she's alive. Get her something to eat. She needs something. Get her some falafel. Get her something good. Get her a piece of lamb. Get her something to eat. Go kill the fatted calf. Go do something. Give her something to eat. I remember the little girl that came to me that was anorexic. Anorexic. The father brought her to me many years ago, and she being anorexic wouldn't eat. She was afraid that she was fat. My Lord, she looked like she was dead. She was so skinny. She looked thinner than the Biafran baby. And you know, you can't reason with people like this. You can't reason with people like this. They think they're fat. They think that they can't eat. The devil's got them. It's a demonic stronghold. So anyway, I couldn't convince her that she wasn't fat. So I said, I took the scriptures and I said, we're going to pray God give us a scripture so that you know what God wants for you. And I took them. And as I opened the scripture book, I tell you, I came to the line with my finger on it. Give her something to eat. Give her something to eat. I said, honey, we just prayed for a scripture. And this is what God's saying to you. Read it out loud. Give her something to eat. I said, what do you want that you would like? She said, a vanilla milkshake. I said to the father, get out of the rectory now and go get your daughter a vanilla milkshake, because Jesus just told her, give her something to eat. People say, how do these things happen to you? Well, they happen to me because you know why? I don't know why. Because I've got a little bit of faith, a mustard seed of faith. But I begin to see these things and I say, you know what? If God is doing these things, he wants to do more. He wants to do more because God is wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. He wants to do more. And I want to tell you, everyone I've prayed with has not been healed. I'd be a liar to tell you, everyone I've prayed with, they've been healed. That's not true. That's not true, but I pray with people with faith that they be healed. Today, the guy with cancer, the brain, I prayed with faith that Jesus would have this this cancer scraped out, that he would scrape it out so this guy would be healed. And I'm believing for it. That's all I can do is believe for it. I can't make the guy healed. I'm not a healer. I'm not Jesus. I'm just Father Tom, who can barely get by some days, but Father Tom, who wants Jesus more than anybody and wants Jesus because he's desperate for Jesus. Oh, boy, I'm so desperate for Jesus. I don't know about you. Are you desperate for the Lord? Are you desperate for Jesus? Do you need him? Do you need him as much as I do? Then call upon his name, Jesus. Remember, Bartimaeus started screaming, Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus was blind. He couldn't see where Jesus was, so he had a voice. Do you have a voice to call out to Jesus? Do you have a voice to call out to Jesus with desperation? Jesus, come to me. I'm desperate for you. I need you to come to me. I have nothing. I need you to come to me. Listen, I tell you, my friends, he charged them straightly that no man should know what he did to the little girl. But I tell you, everyone found out about it. When you tell people, don't tell anybody, sounds Italian or Irish, don't tell anybody, everybody's going to find out. Well, you know what? All the people who said that she was dead, now they see the little girl eating and the little girl rising and walking and jumping and playing again, and they knew she was dead. You know that the word got around that he not only heals the sick, but he raises the dead. This is Jesus I'm talking about. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's there for you. He's there for you. The only thing you need is a little bit of faith. A little bit of faith. That's why I'm doing this broadcast. That faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The only thing you need and I need is a little bit of faith so that Jesus will touch us. Oh God, give us that faith. Give us that biblical faith. Give me apostolic faith, Lord Jesus. I need apostolic faith. I need the faith of Peter. I need the faith of Paul. I need the faith of Andrew. I need the faith of John and James. I need apostolic faith so that when people come to me, they would be so healed. But I need it for myself, oh God, not only for people, because I'm desperate for you. I am so desperate for you. Oh, Jesus, come to me, not only to the crowds. Come to me. I press in like the woman pressed in, and I touch you. I just touch your garment, Jesus, and say, here I am, oh Lord. I'm so desperate for you. I need you. Come and help me. Please, Lord, don't abandon me. Don't walk by me. Oh, Jesus, I need you. I'm suffering. I need you, Lord. Tell him. Just tell him right now. Just tell him. I'm suffering. I need you right now. I need that you would touch me in the depths of my being. I need that you would heal me in the depths of my being. I need that you would do something that I can't do. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Ah, you're no respecter of persons. What you did to that lady, do for me. Do for me. I have woman trouble. Heal me of the woman trouble. Tell him, I have woman trouble. Heal me of the woman trouble. I have a child that's sick with cancer. I have a grandson or granddaughter. Jesus, go and touch them. Touch them now, Lord. Touch them now. Touch them now because you're Jesus. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You don't change, Lord. You're always merciful. You're always wonderful. You're always beautiful. Go touch the grandson. Go touch the granddaughter, the one that's on drugs. Oh, Jesus, go and let them come to their knees. Let them fall on their knees like these people did, and let them ask for mercy. Let there be an unction of the Spirit, an unction of the Spirit that no one can deny. Let there be an unction of the Spirit. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the word of God. Let there be an unction of the Spirit, an unction of the Spirit, an unction of the Spirit. Let there be more, God, more of your Spirit, Lord, more of your Spirit. Come, Lord, with your Spirit. Come and heal the sick, Lord. Come, Lord told me not to ask for money today. So I'm just going back. Just right now, let there be some outpouring of the Spirit that changes people, that changes people's lives, that cause people to know that you are the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, That woman touched you with faith. Give us that woman's faith. That woman that pressed in. Oh, she pressed in. She said, if I only touch the fringe of his garment, that's all I need to do. I don't need to touch him. I just need to touch his clothes and I'll be healed. And there was this miraculous power that came from Jesus. This beautiful, beautiful, beautiful happening in Mark's gospel, Mark 5. Starting with verse 21. Oh, you read it. You read it. He took Peter, James, and John into the room with him. And he also took the mother and father into the room with them. And he threw everybody out because they said, she's dead. Why bother the teacher? Jesus needed faith. The faith of the mother and father. The faith of Peter, James, and John. He needs just a little bit of faith to work. Just a little bit of faith. That's all he needs, a little bit of faith to believe that what Jesus says is true. Just a little bit of faith goes a long way. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be thou moved. The mustard seed of faith. Oh, Lord Jesus, we need that mustard seed of faith. We need you to touch us. We need you to touch us, Lord. I see people that are experiencing being abandoned. Oh, you are not abandoned. The Lord says, I am with you always, even unto the end of time. I see people who've got problem with their eyes, macular degeneration. Be healed in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Macular degeneration, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Any eye trouble, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Through the power of the blood, through the power of the blood, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be healed of all your diseases? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you stand up and give witness to Jesus? There's wonder-working power in the blood. Hit it now. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Father, through the blood of Jesus Christ, let there be a multiplication of healings. Let there be a multiplication of faith. Let there be a multiplication of glory. Right now, Lord, right now I pray that your name would be glorified and only the name of Jesus would be glorified. And I say now, God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.